Chapter 6, The Military Decision-Making Process, Step 3, Course of Action Development. S2, I need you to do another turn on those enemy courses of action, COAs, Cajun 6 began. How many possible enemy COAs are there? Sir, there are unlimited courses of action, the S2 replied. They had this conversation before. Cajun 6, early in his command, dissuaded him of the schoolhouse idea that they should only think about most dangerous or most likely. We are limited only by our imagination of what the enemy might do. Exactly. So we need to look at this with the same level of detail. Ensure you're templating every specialty unit. Think in terms as we look at our targeting of not only their formations but their functions as well. As it comes to maneuver, I need you to think at the platoon level for the battalions, BNs, to be able to figure it out so we can achieve a 3-to-1 ratio. If you can template platoons, then we have an idea about the enemy's companies and the armor rolling within those companies. Will do, sir, Cajun 2 nodded. We're almost there. I know you are, Cajun 6 conceded. Let's not forget our fight, though. The brigade, BDE, fight, which is not just beyond the coordinated fire line, CFL. Sure. Where are their long-range indirect fire, IDF, assets? You showed me the Battalion Tactical Group, BTG, and Division Tactical Group, DTG, fires 1713 Battalion-sized detachment, BDET, has available. Now, show me where they will be, so we can either shoot them directly or coordinate with the Joint Task Force, JTF, to kill them before they kill us. There's also the aspect of the BDE fight in how we synchronize BNs and our assets. Cajun 2 looked at the map, as did the fire support officer, FSO. Cajun 6 watched before he continued. Mudbug 6 is going to be waist-deep in a counterfire fight, and we need to take out those guns. I need to know if those mechanized forces in Oberlin change their rate of march. Those indicators are critical because the FSO needs to know in case they start to bypass obstacles and we need to emplace a family of scatterable mines, FASCAM, minefield. What counter-mobility assets do enemy forces have that will enable their movement here? I'm not comfortable with the initial reconnaissance plan as you have it here. The cavalry, CAV, has fires, but what about logistics and medical support? The named areas of interest, NAIs, and draft reconnaissance guidance are good, but you've got work to do on the science before this goes out in my name. A COA is a broad potential solution to an identified problem. After receiving the restated mission, commander's intent, and updated commander's planning guidance, the staff develops COAs for the commander's approval. The COA development step generates options for subsequent analysis and comparison that satisfy the commander's intent and planning guidance. During COA development, planners use the problem statement, mission statement, commander's intent, planning guidance, and products developed during MA. The COA begins conceptually, but by the end of the step, the COA develops many of the details necessary for subordinates to act. Lesson/best practice. Always go through every step of COA development, even if given a directed COA from the commander. This ensures all the factors developed in the mission analysis MA have been accounted for in the COA and helps the commander's directed COA become fully developed. The commander's direct involvement in COA development greatly aids in producing comprehensive and flexible COAs in the time available. To save time, the commander may also limit the number of COAs staffs develop or specify particular COAs not to explore. Lesson/best practice. In a time-constrained environment, a brigade or battalion commander gives guidance for developing a single COA. Commanders decide how they want to conduct the fight versus operational parameters. Staff members take this guidance and turn it into a complete COA, then backbrief the COA to the commander with a sketch and statement of concept to ensure they captured the commander's intent. The staff members must also integrate those elements commanders did not address in guidance to their satisfaction. Once the commander approves the plan in concept, the staff must complete the plan before the war game. This means developing the fighting products, operation graphic, situation template, synchronization matrix, SYNCMAT, fires matrix, information collection matrix, and Decision Support Matrix, DSM, to an 80 to 90% solution. These are the primary tools gathered for the war game. Planners examine each prospective COA, or single-directed COA, for validity and meeting the following screening criteria throughout the process, but should review it again at this step. Feasible. The COA can accomplish the mission within the established time, space, and resources available. Acceptable. The COA must balance cost and risk with the advantage gained. Suitable. The COA can accomplish the mission within the commander's intent and planning guidance. Distinguishable. Each COA must differ significantly from the others, such as scheme of maneuver, lines of effort, phasing, use of the reserve or task organization. Complete. A COA incorporates how the decisive operation leads to mission accomplishment, how shaping operations create and preserve conditions for success of the decisive operation or effort, how sustaining operations enable shaping and decisive operations or efforts, how to account for offensive, defensive, stability, or defense support of civil authorities tasks, how it describes transforming current conditions to the desired end state. Lesson/best practice. If staffs are not directed to develop a single COA, there is an option to quickly yet thoroughly develop multiple COAs. Assign a team leader for each COA to assemble products and brief the commander. This saves time and ensures all COAs are given equal time consideration. Have a small group, S2, S3, COA team leads, brainstorm a basic outline that distinguishes COAs before bringing the entire staff together. Simultaneously, low-density specialties can prepare products that will support all COAs, fires, engineers, chemical, signal, medical, etc. Assess relative combat power. Lesson/best practice. Brigade and battalion staffs often fail to assess relative combat power and array the forces as needed during COA development. This is often because of a lack of understanding of how the enemy fights or units' unwillingness to task organize their units differently than their habitual unit configurations. Overcome these shortfalls by conducting a thorough reverse intelligence preparation of the battlefield, IPB, and developing an updated threat template with the executive officer, XO, or S3 serving as an honest broker and review the correlation of forces. Combat power includes the total means of destructive, constructive, and information capabilities that a formation or unit can apply at a given time. It is a command's ability to fight and win in large-scale combat or accomplish the mission in stability operations or defense support of civil authorities. Commanders combine the elements of intelligence, movement and maneuver, fires, sustainment, protection, command and control, C2, information, and leadership to meet constantly changing situations and defeat the enemy. The goal is to generate overwhelming combat power at the decisive point to accomplish the mission at the least cost. Several variables can stand between a unit and mission accomplishment, such as enemy forces, restrictive terrain, or unit limitations. A way to visualize the interaction of the variables is to create a sketch. When using a sketch, it normally includes the area to cover, easily identified physical terrain, key known higher headquarters graphics, significant obstacles, dense urban areas, and other population areas that would impact the COA. Based on output of IPB, a sketch also includes the known threat COA. The sketch then aids the planning team in understanding and visualizing the assessment of relative combat power and COAs. Relative combat power analysis involves assessing tangible factors, such as equipment, weapon systems, and units, and intangible factors, such as morale and training levels. It also considers the mission variables of mission, enemy, terrain and weather, troops and support available, time available, civil considerations, mission variables, Army, MET TC, I, that directly or indirectly affect the potential outcome of an operation. Comparing the significant strengths and weaknesses of each force in terms of combat power gives planners insight into friendly capabilities that pertain to the operation, the types of operations possible from both friendly and enemy perspectives, How and where enemy forces may be vulnerable, how and where friendly forces may be vulnerable, additional resources not previously identified that may be required to execute the mission, how to recommend the allocation of existing resources. Planners initially make a rough estimate of force ratios of combat maneuver units 2 levels below their echelon. Other types of units such as field artillery, FA, air defense, aviation, enablers, and sustainment may be broken down further. After computing force ratios, the staff analyzes the intangible aspects of combat power. A technique for this analysis is comparing friendly strengths against enemy weaknesses, and vice versa for each element of combat power. A relative combat power assessment identifies exploitable enemy weaknesses, identifies unprotected friendly weaknesses, and determines the combat power necessary to conduct tasks. Generate options. Lesson/best practice. If you are fighting a near-peer force that possesses tactical agility and fighting on terrain that is familiar to it, develop a COA that contains several primary options that will allow the commander to out-decision the enemy. This is distinctively different than just branches and sequels. Reference Center for Army Lessons Learned, Call, Combat Training Center, CTC, Quarterly Bulletin, Number 97-4, First Quarter, Fiscal Year, FY, 1997, January, 1997. Decision Point Tactics, Fighting the Enemy, Not the Plan. To gain understanding of COAs, options, and decision points, which allow rapid decision-making, rapid maneuver, or defense, and effective mission accomplishment, call number 97-4 can be accessed via Common Access Card, CAC, and can be found at the Call Restricted website. Planning requires creative application of doctrine, units, and resources. It requires a thorough knowledge and application of the fundamentals of unified land operations. See Army Doctrine Publication, ADP 3.0, Operations, 31 July 2019, and the Fundamentals of Tactics, see ADP 3-90. The art of planning involves developing plans within the commander's intent and planning guidance by choosing from interrelated options, including arrangement of activities in time, space, and purpose, assignment of tactical mission tasks and tactical enabling tasks, task organization of available forces and resource allocation, choice and arrangement of control measures, tempo, the risk the commander is willing to take. The operational framework is a cognitive tool used to assist commanders and staffs in clearly visualizing and describing the application of combat power in time, space, purpose, and resources in the concept of operations, Army Doctrine Publication ADP 1-01. They may create new models to fit the circumstances, but they generally apply a combination of common models according to doctrine. The three models commonly used to build an operational framework are assigned areas, deep, close, and rear operations, main effort, supporting effort, and reserve. To develop options, planners begin with the decisive operation, determines the decisive operation's purpose, if not stated by the commander, and considers ways to mask the effects of combat power to achieve it. The decisive operation's purpose directly relates to accomplishing the unit mission. When executed, the unit with the primary responsibility for the decisive operation becomes the main effort. After determining tasks and purposes, the planning team sequences separate actions together to ensure the decisive operation is successful. The goal during COA analysis, wargaming, will be to synchronize these tasks to maximize the effects. During COA development, identify the conditions required for a successful decisive operation and plan backwards. Lesson/best practice. It is often more efficient and effective for the Brigade Support Battalion, BSB, to develop one COA for sustainment that has multiple options within it than to develop multiple distinct COAs that are then decided between when planning brigade-level sustainment. This helps keep the BSB synchronized with the developing brigade plan as it develops. The staff, support officer primarily, should collaboratively develop this single support COA with the brigade, and then the BSB staff can analyze war game that single COA to start deciding on the best of each option based on requirements for each type to support the brigade plan. Ensure the COA has multiple options and considers the many challenges that may occur. Route closed, planned link-up does not occur, higher level push delayed, unexpected chemical use, unexpected shortage, brigade combat team, BCT, main effort goes in an unexpected direction, operation is faster or slower than planned, etc. Array forces. Arraying forces allows planners to see combat power currently available to plan with and ensures all available units and capabilities are used as part of COA development. When arraying forces, planners should first list all available units two levels below their echelon, along with any key equipment or capabilities. Planners determine the relative combat power necessary to accomplish each task. Often, planners use planning ratios as a starting point. For example, historically, defenders have a much higher probability of defeating an attacking force approximately three times their equivalent strength when established in a prepared defense. Therefore, as a starting point, commanders assess and determine acceptable risk when defending an avenue of approach, AA, with less than roughly a 1-to-3 force ratio. The initial array identifies the total number of units needed, and it identifies possible methods of dealing with enemy forces and stability tasks. If the number arrayed is less than the number available, planners place additional units in a pool for use when they develop the initial concept of operations. If the number of units arrayed exceeds the number available, and the difference cannot be compensated for with intangible factors, the staff determines whether the COA is feasible or not. Ways to make up shortfalls include requesting additional resources, accepting risk in that portion of the area of operations, AO, or executing tasks required for the COA sequentially rather than simultaneously. Lesson/best practice. Staffs may split into two planning teams to develop separate COAs. Before refining the concept or concepts, both teams should brief their initial scheme of maneuver to the planning staff. This ensures that COAs are clear and distinguishable to enable supporting staff sections to allocate resources and develop their concepts of support. During the refinement step, the individual or individuals depicting the enemy should not only be able to describe disposition and enemy COAs, but task and purpose down to the same echelon that friendly forces will plan. The reverse warfighting function, WFF, analysis submitted during MA should provide an excellent starting point for assessing relative advantages for threat and friendly forces. Planning ratios often reflects the likelihood a unit will be successful more than half of the time. Exceeding these is preferable. Develop the broad concept. Lesson/best practice. The broad concept is not a checklist of what must be in the concept of operations, but will vary depending on mission and echelon. For example, a battalion attacking to seize an objective likely does not have any themes/messages it is concerned about delivering. Planners ensure the concept is concise and relevant to the mission. In developing the broad concept of operations, the staff describes how arrayed forces will accomplish the mission within the commander's intent. The broad concept concisely expresses the how of the commander's visualization, and it will eventually provide the framework for the concept of operations. The staff develops the initial concept of operations for each COA and expresses it in both narrative, COA statement, and graphic forms, COA sketch. Planners include graphic control measures necessary to enhance understanding of the COA. A sound COA should present an overall combined arms approach to accomplish the mission and is flexible enough to support sequels or unforeseen events during execution. The initial concept of operations includes, but is not limited to, the following. Note, some are mission-dependent. The purpose of the operation. A statement of where the commander will accept operational or tactical risk, identification of critical friendly events and transitions between phases if the operation is phased, Designation of the decisive operation, along with its task and purpose, linked to how it supports the higher echelon headquarters concept. Designation of the operational framework for this operation, deep, close, rear, main and supporting effort, or decisive shaping, sustaining. Designation of the reserve, including its location and composition, reconnaissance and security activities, identification of maneuver options that may develop during an operation, location of engagement areas, EAs, attack objectives or counterattack objectives, assignment of subordinate AOs, scheme of fires, concept of sustainment, scheme of protection, integration of obstacle effects with maneuver and fires, priorities for each warfighting function, WFF, themes, messages, and means of delivery. These are mission-dependent and not a requirement if unnecessary. Military deception operations, on a need-to-know basis, not brief to the entire staff. Key control measures, essential stability tasks as necessary. Planners select control measures, including graphics, only as necessary to control subordinate units during an operation. Control measures establish responsibilities and limits that prevent subordinate units' actions from impeding one another. These measures also foster coordination and cooperation between forces without unnecessarily restricting freedom of action. Good control measures enhance decision-making and individual initiative. Lesson/best practice. Develop concepts of intelligence, fires, sustainment, protection, as well as C2 to support the maneuver plan. Some aspects of a support concept may work for multiple COAs, and others may require significant changes, such as the shift between air and ground movement. Additionally, identify potential decision points and indicate likely time/space to implement them. The staff only needs to identify what, where, when at this stage and will complete decision products during wargaming. Assign headquarters. After refinement of the concept, planners create a task organization by assigning headquarters to groupings of forces. They consider the types of units to be assigned to a headquarters and the ability of that headquarters to control those units. Generally, a headquarters controls at least 2 subordinate maneuver units, and generally no more than 5. Commanders and planners must also carefully consider the maximum number, ensuring they do not overextend their span of control. If planners need additional headquarters, they note the shortfall and resolve it later. Planners ensure all headquarters are accounted for, and that all headquarters are either commanding and controlling troops, or, if a headquarters does not have any assigned troops, it is given a mission appropriate to its organization. During this step, you can also review command relationships or special requirements for operations, such as a passage of lines or air assault. Prepare statement and sketch. Lesson/best practice. A COA consists of a statement and a sketch describing the concept of operations. It is not a plan. Although all WFFs may be included, it should be centered around the friendly scheme of maneuver based on the situation template, and it should include the concept of fires. The COA must be supportable using the other WFFs, but the staff should guard against slowing down the process by articulating those in detail at this point. In the absence of a COA team lead, the S3 prepares a COA statement and supporting sketch for each COA. The COA statement clearly portrays how the unit accomplishes the mission. The COA sketch provides a picture of the combined arms aspects of the concept, including the positioning of forces. Together, the statement and sketch covers the who, generic task organization, what, tasks, when, where, and why, purpose, for all subordinate units and synchronizes their actions. The COA sketch depicts the array of forces and control measures and includes the following. The unit and subordinate unit boundaries, including deep, close, rear, and support areas by phase as necessary, unit movement formations, but not subordinate unit formations, the line of departure, LD, or line of contact and phase lines, PLs if used, reconnaissance and security graphics, ground and air axes of advance, assembly areas, battle positions, strong points, EAs and objectives, obstacle control measures and tactical mission graphics, fire support coordination and airspace coordinating measures, main effort, location of command posts, CPs, and critical communications nodes, known or templated enemy locations, population concentrations. A finalized COA statement describes the selected COA in detail. It generally includes mission, commander's intent, concept of operations, if the operation is phased, main and supporting efforts as appropriate by phase, scheme of maneuver, scheme of intelligence, scheme of fires, scheme of protection, scheme of engineer operations, scheme of information, concept of sustainment, task and purpose of subordinate units, including priorities for employment of the reserve, concept of C2, Initial Decision Support Matrix, DSM, and Decision Support Template, DST, operational risk with identified mitigation. Conduct a course of action briefing, lesson/best practice. Refrain from presenting a COA brief that is more indicative of an operation order, op board brief. Staffs may potentially squander valuable time by overdeveloping a COA, especially if a particular COA is not in adherence with the commander's intent. After developing COAs, the staff briefs them to the commander. A collaborative session may facilitate subordinate planning. The COA briefing includes an updated IPB, highlights from MA or if there are significant changes, as many threat COAs as necessary or specified by the commander. Ideally, it includes the most likely and most dangerous threat COAs, the approved problem statement and mission statement, review from MA, the commander's and higher echelons commander's intents, review from MA, deductions resulting from the relative combat power analysis, each COA statement and sketch, including lines of operations and lines of effort if used, each COA sketch includes assumptions used, task organization, concept of operations briefed chronologically, geographically, using deep, close rear support areas with main and supporting efforts, scheme of maneuver, scheme of intelligence, scheme of fires, scheme of protection, scheme of sustainment, scheme of information, scheme of C2, risk, COA evaluation criteria, review from MA, commander's comments, decisions, or guidance. If required, the staff should be prepared to provide the rationale for each COA, including considerations that might affect enemy COAs, critical events for each COA, the reason units are arrayed as shown on the sketch, see Field Manual FM1-02.2, Military Symbols, 18 May 2022, for doctrine on COA sketches, the reason the staff used the selected control measures, the impact on civilians, how the COA accounts for minimum essential stability tasks as required, new facts and new or updated assumptions, briefed by exception up front, refined COA evaluation criteria. Lesson/best practice. The initial part of the brief only serves to allow the commander to review the inputs the staff used to develop the COA. The S2 should focus on reviewing updates that impact enemy COAs, and S3 should focus on higher mission, intent, and reviewing the commander's guidance for developing the COAs. Other staff sections should only brief by exception, focused on new facts that impact the feasibility of a COA or answer questions the commander had at the end of MA. All other updates should be recorded within running estimates to support COA analysis and order production later. The majority of a COA development brief should be spent briefing COAs to ensure staff members are addressing commander's concerns and meeting their intent before going forward. Although the team lead for a COA briefs the statement directly to the commander, have a second person highlight the unit and tasks being described on the sketch. Select or modify courses of action for continued analysis. After the COA briefing, the commander selects or modifies those COAs for continued analysis and issues planning guidance. If a commander accepts one or more of the COAs, staff members begin COA analysis. The commander may create a new COA by incorporating elements of one or more COAs developed by the staff. The staff then prepares to wargame this new COA. The staff must incorporate those modifications and ensure all staff members understand the changed COA. If all COAs are rejected, the staff begins again. Cajun 6 continued with guidance for the rest of the WFFs. For protection and sustainment, we need a detailed protection asset synchronization plan and preparedness against a credible chemical, biological, radiological, and nuclear seaburn threat. I'm concerned about our ability to support operational decontamination operations. That's a lot of water. He approved the initial concept for employment of the CAV squadron and movement of the Artillery BN Tactical Command Post, TAC, and the Brigades, BDE's, 155mm Battery, C/1st Brigade 36FA, into forward positions. He directed the staff focus on COA 1. He emphasized their primary, alternate, contingency, and emergency pace plan by report type and unit, specifically in retaining communications with the CAV once it moves forward. Important, Cajun 6 said with a note of finality, we are not in position to defend yet. Copperheads and Gators have to fight into position. We need to track their progress, anything that delays them, or if we get a whiff that they won't make it at all. That's a commander's critical information requirement, CCIR, because we'll need to react. So it is an assumption that we'll get to the terrain we want until we're on it. The XO directed all staff members to update their running estimates and include the commander's guidance in their concepts of support. Following the briefing, the Cajun staff made the necessary changes to the initial reconnaissance plan and submitted their finalized products to the S3 section. The S3 approved the order, and his assistant S3, AS3, published warning order, WARNORD 2, on both upper and lower tactical internet, TI. Again, the BN's confirmed receipt within 15 minutes,